Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to LG Equipment Limited Q2 FY17 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Market Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Market Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rohan. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets, I welcome you all to the 2Q FY17 earnings conference call of LG Equipment Limited. We have with us today Mr. Jairam Varadaraj, Managing Director, LG Equipment Limited, and his team. I now request Mr. Jairam to provide us an overview of the quarter results, and then we shall begin the Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kamlesh. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon. As per our standard practice, I will take you through our consolidated results for this quarter in comparison to last year's same quarter. So if you've seen the results, our sales have been pretty much flat, but this needs to be viewed in context of the fact that last year, the same quarter, we had the sales from Bel Air registered in our consolidated level. So to the extent of about 13 crores, which was the sales in Bel Air last year in the same quarter, this quarter we don't have it. So to that extent, there has been a growth. I'll come back and talk specific about sales, but I'll give you an overview of the overall profitability. If I take last quarter's benchmark and work this quarter's numbers against that, we have had an improvement in contribution due to a better contribution percentage. And as a consequence, our EBITDA is about 343 million. But if it had followed the same ratios as the last year's same quarter, it would have been 257 million. So we have actually done better than last year in terms of the ratios. And the primary reason is, compared to last year, this year, we have pretty much either eliminated subsidiaries that were making losses or subsidiaries that we are still continuing with. We have substantially reduced the losses. The first one is Bel Air, of course, and the other one is both in Brazil and in China. Brazil has turned into profits, and China has substantially dropped its losses. So that's pretty much the reason for why at the EBITDA level we are far better than last year's same quarter in spite of almost the same level of sales. Now, in terms of the business, it's been a bit challenging. India, we have grown in India compared to last year, but the uncertainties in terms of the future continue to remain. Large projects are still non-starters. They're almost dead. Balancing equipment, capital investment for balancing equipment is what is really driving this. So we'll have to wait and see. In terms of specific segments, our industrial, medium, small and medium-sized compressors have grown very well. The large machines, like I said, in projects have been quite depressed. Our construction and mining business has grown well, and I think that's reflective of the infrastructure projects, primarily road and construction that has been given out by the government. Our water well continues to be a challenge. The overall market itself is quite low, and our situation is quite at the bottom of the pyramid at the moment, but we are working on some plans to come back up. Our parts business has grown smartly compared to last year, but still we have a long way to go in terms of improving it. Our railway business has been quite solid, continues to remain as a consequence of budgetary support from the government to increase the production of locomotives. So this is really the overall synopsis of the financials and then at a very broad level, the business. So I'll be happy to take on specific questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now begin with a question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ravi.
Sir, had a few questions. You had mentioned that industrial small and medium-sized compressors are seeing growth. Can you just throw some more light on which are the industries from which we are seeing demand and what kind of compressors they are? Are they oil-free, oil-lubricated compressors which are seeing the demand currently?
Like I said, there is no one specific industrial segment. Pretty much all the industrial segments are exhibiting reasonably good investment in balancing equipment. So I can't highlight any one industry that stands out. In terms of size of the machines, they're not the large machines because most of the large machines tend to go towards projects. And oil-free machines are large machines. They're not small machines.
Okay. So if you can give a HP range as to what would be the HP range which is fast moving now and what would have been the kind of growth in that?
No, I would prefer not to go into such level of granular detail, Ravi, if you don't mind.
Sure, sir, sure. And in the sense, I mean, some of the engine suppliers like Cummins, they were talking about significantly higher growth in the first half. That is north of 50% year on year to compressor segment, engine supply to compressor segment.
Yeah.
So, but we had been, and I also believe the industry has been seeing only limited growth, that is in the 10% range. So where is the, any idea, any sense where there could be a dichotomy, I mean, in the sense?
No, there is no thing. Like I told you, construction and mining is something that we are selling. It's grown very well for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we buy engines from Cummins for our construction and mining business as well, not just our water well. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So sales of water well compressors, I don't think have been better than last year.
Okay.
At the industry level, I'm not talking company level.
Okay. Okay.
Because we do know what are the total number of machines.
Okay. And sir, there have been consecutively 2 years of drought the previous years and this year monsoon has been good. Still, if there is no major recovery in water well, is there an industry level issue which is happening there or do you expect demands to see a recovery from here on?
I think I've explained this in multiple occasions in the past. The investment in the water well business is not dependent on drought at all.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on renewals of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, or I don't know whether it's unfortunate, but historically this particular business has followed a pattern of, accumulated renewals. That means a set of people start buying new machines and then there's a whole host of people then results in them replacing their equipment. So equipment is pretty much replaced in 3 to 4 years' time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last, probably the boom was maybe 2 years ago or 1.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it may take a while for it to come back. I don't think it's anything to do with the monsoon. It has never been. We have the patterns for the last 20 years. It's never been linked to the monsoon.
So it has been, I mean, 2-3 years since demand has been generated from the segment. So next 1 year, is there a very high probability that demand should start seeing a pickup because the replacement would start happening?
No, the peak, like I said, was about 1.5 to 2 years ago.
Mm.
So if bulk of your machines have been replaced about 1.5 to 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the life cycle is about 3 to 4 years. We've got to wait another year and a half before we see any significant renewal.
Acha, okay. And in terms of centrifugal compressors, I understand that the large projects are almost dead. But
yeah.
Is there any kind of a replacement or efficiency improvement demand that is being generated in this particular category?
Nothing that is significant, Ravi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we had supplied a couple of sets, I believe. So are they doing fine?
Yeah. They're doing fine. I mean, we're going to get 2 more machines into the field very soon. So.
Okay. And sir, just wanted to know how ATS-LG's performance has been. Similarly, Rotair and Patterns, and directionally in terms of growth, profitability.
Well, ATS has grown. Kind of in line with the growth in the automotive, maybe marginally lower than the growth in the automotive segment.
Hmm.
So our market share is continuing to remain the same. In certain segments, we have improved our market share.
Hmm.
Profitability is a bit challenged, and that's primarily because of 2 things. One is our manpower cost in that business is high, and it is high because we have seeded that business for much larger size of business than what it is today. So we got to wait that out, and we're working on some initiatives for that to happen. The other reason is we have seeded a new business called Auto Show, which I've explained to the investors a year ago. That business we need to continue to fund that business maybe for another year. We are working on different options, very promising ones, but we need to wait and see what happens. So those are the 2 reasons why the profitability is a little low. And as far as Rotair is concerned, Rotair, it lost a big customer in Algeria, and that customer has not come back because of the Algerian economy. Other than that, Rotair has done very well. It has grown in really strong, significant markets, and the profitability of Rotair is better than what it was before.
Okay.
And in the U.S., our U.S. direct operations are doing well. Patterns continues to be at the same level. They have not improved. They are not recovering back to the original levels, but we are working on different plans.
Okay, and profitability at Patterns, is it stable? Patterns, or
profitability is better than last year.
Better than last year. Okay. And in terms of exports from the domestic market, what are the efforts that we are taking, given that domestic market itself is slow growing? Exports incrementally, can they lead to better growth?
I don't know about exports, Ravi. We are talking about international business. We are now operating with a direct presence in 18 countries. So for us, instead of trading type of exports, which is a very opportunistic, highly uncertain kind of a business, we focus on building markets in specific countries in a very detailed manner.
Mm-hmm.
We do have an international division that does kind of a trading kind of a business, but that's a very small part of our overall sales.
Okay. No, sir, exports for us, last year it must have been around 150 crores from in the standalone entity. I just wanted to know if there is any growth opportunities there. Middle East, Africa, etc.?
No, no. Like I said, our export is primarily to our subsidiary companies in these 18 countries.
Gotcha. Okay. And in terms of spares, how as a percentage last, you used to say that it used to be around 22-23% domestic. How directionally is it improving?
It continues to remain the same. So on a higher top line, we are still growing. We at the same percentage means we have grown in absolute value. But there are specific initiatives that are being rolled out as we speak. And we expect those initiatives to give us some real solid traction in 17-18.
Okay, okay. So that as a percentage-wise, it is likely to go up directionally.
Yes.
Okay. At a market level, what would be the average spare sales compared to revenue? Will it be as high as 30%?
Well, at the industry level?
Industry level, yeah.
Well, I don't know about India, but if you look at worldwide, depending upon markets, in some markets are as low as 20%, some markets is as high as 55%.
Okay. Okay.
So, international companies benchmark is about maybe 33-34%.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Got it. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the queue for further.
Sure.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please press star and one to ask a question. Participants, please press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Ranjit Shivram from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Hi, Ranjit.
Yeah, sir, just wanted to know, like, as a reiteration of the previous one, if you can give us some color on, like, which specific industry segments, if you can classify broadly also, it would be fine, where you are seeing some demand, even in terms of this balancing equipment, which are more visible to you?
Well, I can tell you why we are not growing. We are not growing in that much in power. We are not growing that much in steel. We are not growing that much in cement. So these are all large projects where, you know, that there's still capacity. We are expecting cement to come around because the read is that people, the capacity is getting quickly utilized with all these projects that have been rolled out by the government. So other than that, all industry verticals, automotive, textiles, pharmaceuticals, food processing, foundry, forge, everything is buying.
Okay, that was helpful, sir. And sir, just wanted to know that because of this current initiatives of demonetization, there is a cash crunch which is visible. So, what percentage of our dealer sales happen through cash, and do you see some impact because of this, at least in the temporarily for the third quarter, because of this policy?
I don't think our business has any impact by cash. There could be some service revenue that could be impacted, but that's again B2B, and most of them are aligned to paying by the new monetary unit. So I don't see a problem.
Okay, so in even in the areas where your dealers are handling rural customers, there also you don't see any major impact because of this?
No, nothing at all.
Okay. And sir, overall, if you can, like in a 2-3 years perspective, how do you see your overall overseas business? We had previously a strategy to make it a big portion of our overall revenue pie. So how do you see that playing out, and is there any hiccups there? Or will domestic will be the more focused area for us, because we are seeing more domestic-based demand coming, and export and overseas businesses are, for most of the companies, are drying out. Any change in the thought process there?
No, Ranjit, our strategy has always been ring-fence India even while we explore opportunities outside India. That fundamental premise has not changed. So what we are doing is in the context of a, I wouldn't say resurgence in India, but in the context of India looking relatively better than the rest of the world, our ring fencing is taking, we have taken a much more proactive and offensive stance in the ring fencing, what we mean by ring fencing. So we have rolled out multiple initiatives spanning all the products as well as the aftermarket. And we expect to see good traction and results from these initiatives in 17-18. We're already seeing some now, but in a consolidated nationwide, we will see it in 17-18. Now, our foray into international markets has been a bit of a broad blunt. We went into many markets simultaneously, and we are now in the middle of evaluating what is the efficacy of that strategy. We personally believe, at least at a preliminary level, we should focus on picking a few markets and go deep rather than trying to go broad in multiple markets. It's more a question of leadership challenges, availability of leaders to drive all these kinds of drive initiatives in multiple markets. So the original principle remains. We have committed, we stay committed to that. But the actual mechanics of how to make that principle work is getting adjusted to the current reality.
Okay, so to extend that question, can we see moving out of some of the geographies where we don't see any revenue pickup or
No. We will not move out of any geographies. We may make, if there are strategic reasons, for instance, China was a strategic reason, we have kind of temporarily withdrawn from that market. Other than that, we are not going to withdraw from any other geographies, but the relative emphasis and focus of the organization will be more in certain geographies in order to bring the depth of realization of results in from those geographies.
Okay. And sir, since India is seeing a far more better growth, are you seeing the competitive intensity from our MNC peers you are seeing because of that the pricing pressure? How do you see that, and will that affect our margins?
If you look at our contribution, Ranjit, we have actually improved our contribution compared to last year, same quarter. Now, yes, the competitive intensity is more because India is the flavor of the year or decade or whatever. And there are a lot more companies wanting to come and do business in India. They will nibble at our heels and there will be some losses of business. But what, like I said, it is in response to exactly this that we are looking at a more proactive engagement in the market, which will give us the ability to counter these kinds of moves.
Okay. And sir, finally, if you can give some more clarity on the railway, because we hear that railway and defense are the two areas where this government is putting a lot of emphasis in terms of investment in addition to roads.
Yeah.
So what portion of your current revenue will be from railways, and how do you see that panning? Will that become a seriously big chunk of your business going forward?
Well, I don't want to share percentage of business on railways. That will be too that will be competitive information. The point, it is not a significant percentage of our overall consolidated revenue, but it's a key business for us in India. In railways has two segments as we see it. One is the intercity, which is right now primarily run by the central government, which is the various zonal railway organizations, whether it's Southern Railway, Western Railway. and the hardware manufacturing organizations like Chittaranjan Locomotive Works or Diesel Locomotive Works in Varanasi. So that's one segment, which is the intercity. We have a dominant market share in this intercity business. And we are continuing to invest and engage with customers for holding on and growing in the intercity. Now, the government's investments in expanding this segment is not yet clear. Well, quite a bit of plans have been made. The actual budgetary allocation for significantly expanding the capacity, the rail network capacity, the rolling stock capacity, it's not been announced yet. So when that happens, we are very certain that we will ride with that. The other segment of the railways is the intra-city, which is really the metros. Now, our market share is almost zero in metros for the simple reason most of the metros are tendered, global tenders. And most of the manufacturers who supply to these metros, the electrical multiple units that are supplied for metros, come from international vendors like whether it is Kawasaki or Rotem or Bombardier. And they have homologated compressor brands of compressors that they've been used to working for many, many years. Now, for us to enter that business, we need to get our compressors homologated, and these things don't happen in India. These happen in the respective home head offices of these EMU manufacturers. We are now looking at what are the strategies that we need to follow or adopt to make that homologation possible. But it's very preliminary. We don't have any insights into that.
Okay, thanks for the detailed explanation, sir. Just to add on to that, this dedicated freight corridor is one major opportunity. So when the ordering for the rolling stocks for DFCC happens, will we have a major...
Absolutely. Well, the question is, Anjit, this dedicated freight corridor has been discussed for so many years. We haven't seen it yet.
Because recently, I think yesterday, there was one order given for ABB for 800 electric locomotives for freight.
That's part of the project for bringing in investment for locomotive production. Earlier, there was a project given to GE. And GE has started establishing a factory in Bihar, in Orissa, and I think this is two people were selected. One was ABB and the other one was GE. So I think this is part of that program.
So will we also have some orders from that portion?
Oh, absolutely. We are talking to them about our compressors, yes.
Okay, sir. Thanks. Thank you, sir. I'll join for further questions.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Manish Bhandari from Valem Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Manish Bhandari from Valem Capital, kindly note your line has been unmuted.
Which name I should draw the check? I'll draw the check. Yeah, why don't you type her in direct?
So we'll proceed to the next question as there's no response from Manish Bhandari. We have our next question from the line of Aditya Bakul from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Good afternoon, Aditya.
From my end. Firstly, sir, can you share the broad contours of the assignment that we've given to BCG? And secondly, sir, on a bookkeeping...
Mr. Aditya Bakul, sorry to interrupt you in the conference. Your voice is not audible to the participant, sir.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir, very much. Please proceed.
I'm sorry, sir. Sir, two questions from my end. First off, can you share the broad contours of the assignment handed to BCG? And the second question is on the standalone books. If I look at the investment amount, that has increased from 90 crores in March to about 144 crores. Can you please explain to us what the difference is?
Okay, Aditya, the first to answer the BCG thing, the BCG program is an India-centric program at one level, and the other one, the second part of that program is a organizational restructuring to prepare the company for its future aspirations. This is at a leadership level rather than at the operating level. Now, in the India-specific market-facing program pretty much spans most of our industrial compressor business as well as the aftermarket business. Now, the fundamental premise is, can we improve our process by which we engage with customers? Can we bring certain systems and processes to the way we go about engaging with customers, so that we are able to improve the efficiency of the entire network and the effectiveness of the entire network? So we have rolled out multiple pilots in the country, and we hope to go nationwide between now and March.
Great.
So the full impact of this initiative we can realize in 17-18. That's on the market-facing initiative. The other side is the organization. We have already finalized what should the structure look like, which is one level below me. And in certain functions, multiple levels below me. So that has also been finalized. We will roll it out. This probably will take maybe 6 to 8 months, because it's about restructuring the positions of current people, then probably bringing in external talent at certain levels outside the country and that kind of stuff. So it's we've been quite happy with the progress in which this project has moved along. Uh-huh. As far as your second question in investment, that is really the Ind AS kind of adjustments that we have to do. There's nothing material in it. It is just a restatement as per the new standards.
Fair enough, sir. So coming back to the first question, would it be fair to assume that all the efforts or whatever assignment is given to BCG is predominantly to revitalize our front end, so to say?
Yeah.
That would be fair to assume. Great, sir. Sir, and just one last question, taking off from one of the questions from the previous participants, what, according to you, would be the impact on the demand scenario, especially because of this demonetization, especially given that we're sitting on a very high base in December and March? So the growth that was seen in H2 in the standalone business was significantly higher than the H1 piece. So if I could have some comments from you on this.
I'm not able to, we are not a very cash sensitive business. We don't have, I would say it will probably a business, if I have to even venture a guess, it will be less than 1%, right? Where the actual cash, we are relying on cash as a means to transact business. Mm-hmm. Now, if I have to, there are these, everybody's now got an economic theory about the impact of this demonetization. I think the world has not seen something like this in such a scale happen. So everyone's got a theory. It's a question of who's going to be right. We will know only when the dust settles down. But fundamentally, there is going to be a significant amount of the currency is going to go away, which means that the wealth that currency represented will be back in the hands of the government, either in the form of taxes and penalties or in the form of just abandoning those currencies altogether. Now, that capital has to come back into the economy. Now, when that comes back, I'm betting that a big chunk of that will be towards investments and building capacity and infrastructure in the country, which will be good for all companies that are in the space that we are in, which is capital equipment. But when it's going to take and how long it's going to take, it's anybody's guess. But I think we are in the right direction.
Great, sir. Sir, those were the questions from my end. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we proceed to the next question, a reminder to the participants, please press star and one to ask a question. Participants, please press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Manish Goel from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good afternoon, sir.
Hi, Manish. I was just waiting. I was wondering where you are hiding.
No, very much here, sir. Taking cue from your press release, what you have said that India operations have grown, but rest of the world is quite subdued. So,
yeah.
First is just wanted to get a sense as to what is the now revenue breakup between international and domestic, and if you can split the growth also seen in the, say, first half or the Q2, sir. And how do you see the outlook? Majorly on international side, sir.
International business sales at the sales level, our international business has been kind of flat, Manish.
So if we exclude the France and the China, excluding that, the sales are flat, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Excluding that, flat. Yeah, which means some of them have grown. Yeah.
Sure.
But I would not, if you look at China and France, it's about close to about 15.5 crores last year same quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much they've done 15.5 crores additional sales in other geographies.
Sure.
India, on the other hand, has grown. Again, I don't want to get into the percentages, Manish, but it has been reasonably good growth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of the outlook, the first quarter India was actually better than the second quarter of India.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure. With all these changes going on, the demonetization, the economy has to adjust to that. People are going to wait. GST is another big sword that is hanging over our head. We don't know if they're going to insist on implementation of GST from 1st of April. All the transitionary period issues like past C forms, accumulated credit in the current regime, how are they going to do it? Are customers going to defer purchases to the next regime? These are all, big questions that for which we don't have answers.
Sure. Right.
There are some companies who feel that customers may stop buying anything for that is delivered in March.
Okay.
For the simple reason that government today has not come out clearly and said how credits accumulated in the previous regime are going to get set off in the next regime.
Hmm.
So, with the absence of that, that's a significant amount. Yeah.
Right.
So, we ourselves are wondering if we buy raw material in March and we have accumulated credit from those purchases end of March, how are we going to deploy or how are we going to get the benefit of those credits in April? This is not clear yet. So these are uncertainties both on this demonetization and GST. So I'm unable to say how India is going to respond. India fundamentals seem to be all quite strong, but we have these, temporary kind of stoppages for people are stopping to think and reorient themselves. Yeah?
Right. Okay.
So that's a little difficult for me to predict right now.
And so now after scaling down, say I'm talking about international now, sir, in terms of after scaling down operation at, say, Bel Air, France and China,
yeah.
So how are we positioned? Like, are we still having operations over there and are we looking to grow that market and what is the...
We are selling in France through Rotair.
Okay.
Nowhere near the levels at which we are selling in terms of revenue, but we are beginning to make some steps. We are in... in conversation with many of our old customers.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing is all of them like our product, so they want to continue to do business with us. So that's a positive thing.
Okay.
As far as China is concerned, we are still retaining our entire aftermarket organization there to support customers in China.
Okay.
And we are getting some orders for machines from existing customers by virtue of the support that we are providing to them on service. So, it is not something that I can, you know, to write home and celebrate. So, it's small.
Small right now. Okay. Okay. And on our CAPEX side, sir, what are the plans for current year and next year, sir?
You know, in the beginning of the year, I had said that we had put a ceiling of about 30 crores. I don't think we will exceed 30. I would be surprised if we even exceed half of that.
Okay.
So I think we will be well within our, in terms of capital management, both on working capital and long term, I think we are on a good wicket.
Right. Right, okay.
So next year is really a function of how the rest of the month's going to pan out in India. Today we have adequate capacity to cater to at least a 25-30% growth.
On the existing base? Okay.
The existing base. So I don't think from the existing base to look beyond, I don't think we need. So if at all we will spend any money next year on capacity will be primarily not for increasing the output, but more in terms of facilitation like IT. There will be some investments in IT because the new initiatives we have run with BCG will require certain front-end software that we may invest in.
Mm.
We may invest in certain backward integration in our thing. We talked about specialized motor production, so that may come in. We are still in the validation phase to check. So those are the things that will come in, but for the basic business, I'll see only very little, only balancing replacement kind of equipment that will happen next year.
Okay, and sir, coming to international again, you said Brazil operations had turned profitable in the first half?
Yeah.
Okay, so that is being driven more on, driven by revenue, or it is more on cutting cost, and how is it, what has led to the...
Revenue has not been significant. It has been pretty much at the same level as last year. But what we have done is we have done a balance sheet correction. We had debt in dollars.
Right.
And because of the volatility of the reais, we were taking significant losses in dollar repayments, both to the parent company that we were shipping there, as well as to the loans that we had taken. Right?
Oh, okay.
So we have converted all our debt into reais.
Sure. Okay.
So right now that the exchange rate-driven losses, which pretty much removed entire profit last year, has now gone.
Okay, okay. And on US, sir, a little surprised still that patents is not able to recover. So what are the challenges, one? And on second, you said our subsidiary in US is doing well. So what is the growth levels we are seeing, sir?
Growth in, I would say about 10% growth in our subsidiaries business.
Mm.
It is not significant, but we are going through some new plans for that. As far as patents is concerned, you know, the disruption in business was quite significant.
Mm.
So we have now put in place a new leader for the entire U.S. operation. And we believe that we will set new direction for that business.
Okay.
So it's not so much it's not a product issue, it's not a pricing issue, It's not a reach issue. It's purely a business leadership issue.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fine, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Aruna Bharati from Perry, Washington. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, Jay. How are you?
Good.
Jay, I just have a couple of follow-up questions. One is on the Bel Air side. What was the sales done by Bel Air in the second half of last year, actually?
The whole of second half, I don't have this. You mean the second half of last year?
Of last year.
I don't have the number in front of me. You can call Sriram.
Okay, that's fine. I'll follow up with Sriram and get the number from him. Then you talked about this, the new leadership in USA.
Yeah.
Right. Where this gentleman has actually come from?
Well, he is not from the industrial compressor business, but he's from the portable compressors. He understands compressors. He's worked for both Siemens and Ingersoll Rand.
Okay. And Siemens, he worked for Siemens on the compressor side?
No. On the power equipment side.
Got it. Okay. And my third question is, where do we stand in terms of the debt actually at the consolidated level? And what's the plan for debt repayment?
Right now, we are at around 205 net debt. Yeah.
Okay.
I think compared to the first quarter, I think we've reduced it by about 15 crores.
Okay.
13 and a half to be exact. So we are managing the business for cash, so we are generating it. So our expectation is probably another 15 crores is what we will reduce by March. Our plan was to be completely free of debt by middle of 2018. Assuming we are able to grow at a reasonable pace, I think that's realistically possible.
Okay. And how much of this is basically the foreign currency debt actually?
About 60 lakhs is local, but even that is foreign currency because it's post-shipment credit in dollar, in foreign currency.
Okay, my last question is, Jay, if you can just talk about our businesses in Indonesia and Australia, how are these markets actually tracking for us?
Australia has done well for us this year compared to last year. It's moved up. We have completely eliminated losses and we are making profits now in Australia.
Okay.
Indonesia went, it was a peak business during the peak oil time. Now after the oil dropped, they went through a thing. Now the industrial side is slowly coming back, and we will do better than, significantly better than last year in Indonesia.
Got it. That's all from my side, Jay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, please press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Sir, in earlier reply to one of the question, you mentioned that focus is shifting to certain geographies as far as international business is concerned. So can you name which geographies we are concentrating, will be concentrating from now on?
Well, we are. What I said is, we are going through a review of our performance, where our earlier strategy was to go quite broad into multiple markets. We are reviewing the performance of that decision or that strategy.
Mm-hmm.
At the preliminary level, we are saying that strategy may be a little flawed because of, if you really want to grow in any market, you need to have focused resources in that market. Mm-hmm. And if we spread our resources too thin across multiple markets, then the results that we can expect are very peripheral. So it's that we are right now in the middle of evaluating what should be our portfolio, market portfolio that we should focus on. It doesn't mean that we are going to pull out of other markets. We'll continue to remain in all the markets that we are in right now. It's a question of which are the markets we should start emphasizing more in terms of resource commitment and managerial focus. I'm hoping that by end of March, we will have a clear idea of what we want to do.
Okay, sir, and I missed your another point. International sales is flat, means it is after stripping out France and China?
Yeah, that's what I said. It is after taking that out, it is still flat, which means the others have grown.
Others have grown. Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ashutosh Mehta from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Ashutosh.
Sir, I just wanted to know that as you said, the investments amount which has increased to 144 crores, that is mainly related to Ind AS adjustments, right?
Right.
So we have no additional investments in first half during this period?
Total capex is probably around 5 crores.
Okay.
So
it is all exchange related adjustments or anything, if you can just elaborate a bit on it?
So we had to restate our investment value, certain, stock.
Quasi-equity.
Quasi-equity
has been given.
Yeah.
Whatever loans has been given, if it is a long-term loan, as per Ind AS standards, you need to look at it and convert it into a equity, quasi-equity. That's what Ind AS adjustments being done.
It's basically
a transfer from loan to the investor.
Equity portion. You have converted the loan into equity.
That's all. Plus restatement of the shares that the company owns, quoted shares.
Okay. Fine, sir. So other thing is, when we look at the Chinese subsidiary, are we planning to shut down the trading entity there as well?
We have started that process right now with the Chinese government. We had two entities, a manufacturing entity and a trading entity. We are shutting down the trading entity and we have surrendered our manufacturing license to the government. Now the process is still on.
So this will result in that we exit China as a geography?
No. We have a 11-member team in China. We have our own office, a small warehouse. We are continuing to export machines from here to our warehouse and reselling to customers there.
Okay. So it will be working as a warehouse further.
Yeah. More importantly, we have got people to support our existing customers there.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you so much, sir. That was from my end.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please press star and one to ask a question.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Jai, Kamlesh here. Just one point, sir. How has been the utilization at the foundry level, if you can just check?
Well, the foundry utilization has been quite flat, Kamlesh. We are losing probably at the EBITDA level, we are probably losing about 80-90 lakhs a year. Yeah.
Okay.
But this is based on pricing on what the prices at which we were buying about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our internal P&L. We take the price at which the company was buying castings from outsiders. At that level, we are losing about 80 to 90 lakhs. But the current buying price is much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So if we set it at that price, then it's contributing positively even at EBITDA level.
Mm-hmm.
The utilization of the foundry is still quite low. We are at around 30%. And we are exploring how we can move many of our other parts also into the foundry. Some amount of improvement will happen in the next 2 quarters.
Mm-hmm. So do you expect it to turn around maybe next year?
In my opinion, it's turned around. I mean, there's nothing to turn. It's running well.
Yeah.
We didn't set up the foundry to make a profit. We set up the foundry to improve the quality, which we have achieved.
Sure.
But we wanted a certain payback in terms of the investment. We had set a payback at 6 to 6.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That is not happening, and I'm hoping, if you're meaning that is the turnaround,
yep.
I think until we hit a capacity utilization of around 40%, 40 to 45%, we won't be able to hit that payback levels, Kamlesh.
And do you expect it to happen maybe next year with the initiatives we have been talking?
It's possible. I don't think in 1 year we will achieve it, assuming the market doesn't grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we are really relying on internally converting many of the parts. That alone is not going to give us the turnaround in 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. But the way things look, I think 17, 18 from a top line perspective should be better than 16, 17.
Okay.
So, which means then the foundry demand also will go up, combined with this internal sourcing shift that we are working on, we should hopefully come back on track of that repayment payback period.
Sure. Okay. Rohan, any other questions?
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question. From the line, we have a follow-up question from the line of Manish Bhandari from Valam Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question is regarding, you spoke about the realignment of business in the international geography. So
yeah.
Is there a potential write-down one should keep in mind when you're doing your reorganization of the international business?
Sorry, I didn't get
it. Write-down.
Write-down?
Yeah, I mean to say the write-offs on the potential international business.
No, no. Right now, no. There is, whatever we had to do, we have done already with Bel Air and China. The rest of our businesses internationally are on sound wicket. What we talked about is relative focus. Can we give more emphasis in certain markets which will give us greater results and faster results?
Okay. My second question is how your dealership has expanded in last 2 years' time frame. Have you taken a significant expansion in domestic dealership?
In India?
Yes, that's right.
I know we've traditionally had a pretty comprehensive network which pretty much covered the whole country. So we have really not expanded our dealer network in any significant way. Maybe 5-6% expansion would at best. The more important thing that we have done is to upgrade the quality of the network.
If you could elaborate that.
Well, there are certain dealerships that are peripheral, weak, they are unable to invest, they are not able to establish modern processes and systems. We either work on improving them or exiting them. Those are the qualitative changes that we have made, you know, in the last couple of years. And we continue to do that.
Sure. And my last question is it fair to assume, testify that Ingersoll Rand has made significant investment in the dealership in India, across India. Is it my observation right?
I don't know whether they may, that anything stands out for me in that regard. Ingersoll Rand traditionally worked out of very few dealers. They've had, I think when they started off, they had only 2 or 3 dealers, if I'm not mistaken, covering the entire country. And somewhere a few years ago, they decided that kind of a limited structure was not the right way, and they have been looking at going beyond those 2-3 dealers, and maybe that's where everyone is getting the feeling that Ingersoll Rand. I'm just speculating here. I don't have facts to say one way or the other.
So if you have to rate between Atlas and Kiloskar and Ingersoll Rand, who would you compete hands-on?
Our main competition, most of the times when we are in front of the customer, the name that keeps repeating constantly is Atlas Copco.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak for closing comments.
Thanks, Rohan. On behalf of Asian Markets, I sincerely thank everyone for joining for this call. We also thank the management and Mr. Jairam for providing us the insight about the company's business and financial performance. With that, we conclude the call. Thank you and have a good day ahead.
Thank you, Kamlesh. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Thank you.
On behalf of Asian Market Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect the lines.